You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. With
the kids jingle bells. Tune in to the all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns Holiday Edition tonight at 7 on SportsTime Ohio with a look into the lives of Cleveland Browns players on and off the field. That's 7 tonight on SportsTime Ohio. Now let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, with his press conference from earlier today.
Mike, why did you sign a long snapper for the last week of the year and will both of them be around Sunday?
Yeah, we anticipate that Christian will still snap. It's just you try if you have the available spots on your roster. Sometimes you do. In Ray's world, you're gonna look towards the next year if a guy that you could see potentially be a competitor for you, a guy that can come in and be a viable part of your competition at a position, and you get an opportunity to get him, you can go ahead and make that move.
Do you have any more idea on where things are going to go with the quarterback situation?
No, and yesterday was tough because we didn't do much. It was more of a just being 2 days out from the game. It was more of just a teaching walkthrough type thing. So we didn't do a lot. Some light individual work, and then the offense and defense never came together. It was all separate walkthrough stuff, self-serve. So didn't do much. We'll know a lot more today. I know Brian is feeling better, but that's a relative thing. I just don't know if it'll progress to that he feels confident in time.
Why didn't he have an MRI done on that shoulder?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the medical stuff. I'm not sure. I know it was evaluated. I'm sure if our doctors felt he needed an MRI, they would have ordered one.
If Connor Shaw would have to start, what are your reasonable expectations of what you might see?
Him to go out and execute, do his job. I mean, it's. I think we need to build a smart plan around it. It's still, our formula for success won't be different than what it's been before. We're not a team that's built on spreading people out and getting five out on the route and throwing drop back passes every snap. So our success will be predicated on if we can run the football, run, play, pass, manageable third downs. To me, he's. It's a lot to ask a guy that's been playing offense off of cards ever since the preseason. So this week rolls by pretty quick. If we got to scale some things back, we will. But we'll expect him to go out there and execute to the best of his ability. He was on point. I mean, here's a guy. It's not like he hasn't been here. I mean, I think if we had thrown Tyler in there and said, "Hey, here's all of it," then there would have been some struggles, which was never thought to be the plan. So the fact that Connor's been in there and he's a bright kid, he studies. I mean, he had a pretty good handle on it. A couple of hiccups here and there, but that was as to be expected.
He's a son of a coach.
Yeah, and that's like I said, I've always said I have a soft spot for coaches' kids for obvious reasons.
When you hear Manziel say, "I didn't take this seriously enough," is that alarming or encouraging to you?
Probably a little bit of both. I think all rookies kind of go through. It's rare that you have a rookie like a Joel Bitonio that comes in and it's seamless. Sometimes we have guys that, for whatever reason, they have a brother that was in the league or a good friend. They're somehow just better prepared for it. But most rookies are typically shocked by the speed of the game, by the challenge that it brings. That you're going from. Being a college student and football is essentially a part-time thing where this is your 9 to 5 plus. You might as well carry a briefcase. I mean, it's your job, and it does, I think, probably shock more guys than it doesn't.
Justin Gilbert, Dante Whitner had some pointed remarks about him yesterday. Got to stop being a kid. He's the 8th overall pick in the draft. You traded up to get him. He's playing behind an undrafted rookie all year. And then Sunday he was behind a guy that you originally intended to redshirt who had hardly played. That just doesn't add up. What's going on with him?
It's not his ability, but it's a lot of the little things. It's how he prepares each week. It's just a lot of stuff that's internal, and our guys see it, and that's why it's whether it's a Dansby or a Whitner, they see that if he didn't have the ability, if he didn't have the potential to to kind of live up to the hype, live up to the, to where we took him, then I think our guys wouldn't really deal with him. But the fact that they see how good he can be, because he's shown it in flashes, that they know he just has to be more consistent. And a big part of his consistency needs to come from just being a pro. And our guys see that, and certainly the coaches see it, but it's being reinforced by the players as well.
How confident are you that tough love that he's getting is going to resonate?
I'm confident. Very much looking forward to a very productive offseason, not just for Justin, but for the team, but for him especially. And an acceleration in his in the maturity part of it, and I'm confident that we'll see a better Justin Gilbert next fall.
Does he listen to that coaching, or does he think with his natural ability?
No, he's coachable. It's not from a football standpoint. It's not a lack of coaching. It's just, again, I'm not going to go into details, but it's just a lot of little things.
What does it say about the first round now, though? You have Manziel saying he didn't take it seriously, and with this situation with Gilbert.
What does it say? What do you mean? What does it say? I mean, are we ready to write both those players off as busts because they didn't produce as rookies? I mean, I'm not anywhere near that point. I think that's just a knee jerk. Some rookies come in and play right away, and others it takes some time.
As far as Gilbert is concerned, I usually don't hear like other players kind of calling a teammate out publicly. How do you feel about your couple of your leaders calling him out?
I have no problem with it. I don't. We're in the whatever it takes business, and if it takes for that to happen, and our guys are confident in saying that, because what they're saying publicly is no different than what they're saying to the kid. So it's not like they're trying to communicate with him through the media. And I'm the same way. I can sit here and say some things about him because it's nothing different when I've sat him down in my office and looked him in the eye and said the same things to him. So I think as coaches, you have to learn what motivates your guys, and everybody's different. You can't broad stroke it. You can't try to coach everybody the same. Part of being a coach is putting on that teacher hat, that psychologist hat, and you know what motivates you might be totally different from what motivates you and what motivates you. So that's part of what we have to do as coaches is learn how to do it, and we're hopeful that this quote unquote tough love will be beneficial for Justin.
What motivates Justin in this case?
It's hard to just pinpoint it. I mean, he's responded to some things, and again, I don't want to, you know, open up his personal file and start going through it. It is a lot of personal stuff. So, I can go back to Daryl's question. I'm confident that we'll see a much better version of Justin Gilbert next year.
Mike, the season for you. I mean, a few weeks ago, we were asking you about being coach of the year, and then the losses hit. I mean, and to us, it seems you're the same every day. I mean, how's this year been for you? And
yeah, I mean, and I said it then. I mean, you're just a couple Sundays away from being a Coach of the Year candidate to being, you know, Village Idiot Hall of Fame candidate. So, to me, it's been a roller coaster ride, and just as expected. And it's been tough because, as I said the other day, you're gauged ultimately on how do you finish. What's the end result? And we got a chance to get to 8-8. That's the best we can do. And for us, that's disappointing because we know we left some wins out there. So that's something it's part of the learning process. We feel we're building this foundation the right way. And I referenced it before that we live in a society of it's especially in sports, instant gratification. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win right now. Nobody wants to hear anybody say, "Well, it's going to take time. It's a rebuilding process." Nobody wants to hear that. We don't want to hear it. We want to win, but at the same time, understand that we want long-term sustained success, and we need to make sure that we build it the right way and slowly, and make sure that foundation is solid.
Is there any doubt in your mind that the owner is on the same page with you?
There's no doubt in my mind. I get together with Jimmy for a minimum of an hour every week. We are very much on the same page as far as our vision for this team moving forward, our vision for the team today, our vision for the team this weekend, our vision for the team moving forward.
Thank you.
you know, are we ready to write them off as busts as rookies? Does that mean going forward you guys plan on Johnny being your quarterback in the future?
Yeah, I can't speak on going forward. We're you know, all hands on deck for Sunday, and we have plenty of time to assess. We'll go through, we'll take some time off as coaches. We'll get together with the personnel staff early in January and go through the roster A to Z, just to, you know, prioritize needs, rank it, look at available. I mean, you look at everything, but just still with a game to go, it's you know, it'd be unfair to sit here and try to talk about a position for next year. Go ahead, Pat.
What you're saying about disappointing and leaving losses on the field, but 8-8 for this team, given the last 6 years, I mean, in the big picture, isn't that a step forward?
I don't see it that way, though. I mean, maybe it can be looked that way on the outside, just knowing the chances that the opportunities that we had, and to me, just how we finished our November and December, even if we do win, it's still a disappointment. Anytime you have a month or a stretch where you're losing consecutive games, I mean, it's, you know, what is it, 5 of our last 6, 4 in a row? That's frustrating. We want to, you know, we're gonna do everything we can for it to end on a positive note, on an upswing. But it's frustrating to know that 8-8 is the best we can do when you know, 6 weeks ago that we were in a much better position.
Hey, Mike, on that, not just on your team here, but going back through your career in the NFL, what do you see any common thread in teams in December, late in the year? Because going back to 2010, this team has been abjectly miserable at the end of the year.
It's a lot of factors. Number one is you got to stay healthy, and that's, you know, injuries can just decimate a roster. In 2006, I was in Baltimore, and I think we were either 13-2 or 12-3. I think we had one starter miss 4 games to injury. I mean, it was some ridiculous number that we, you know, our starting lineup week 17 was the same as opening day. And when you look around the league, you know, unless you've just built incredible depth over time, that's rare that happens. So I think it takes some luck. You know, you have to, all your support areas have to be on point, whether it's your strength and conditioning, your training room, to keep your team as healthy as you can. But when you're, you know, guys are breaking legs, and I mean, it is unfortunate. But when you have a rash of injuries like that it is hard to finish strong. But I think that's something that it's mature teams. I mean, guys that can, they know how to take care of themselves, take care of their bodies, but be professionals off the field. Because over long term, I mean, that's when you get into late November, December, teams that are fresh and focused, those are the ones that can be successful. But it's a lot of things, and with a little bit of luck mixed in, is you know, finishing real well.
There's still one game left to play on Sunday, but it, looking back at these first 15 games, is there anything you would change or do differently as you look back at these first 15?
Yeah, I got a whole list. I just haven't put it together yet. Do a lot of things different. Made a ton of mistakes. I admit that, and it's all stuff that critical for us as a staff to look at, or us as an organization, and put it all together. Do our own self scout, our own audit post year. We do one every week. We'll do one at the end of the year. And get those locked in to make sure that they don't happen again.
Is this a high volume injury year compared to all the teams you've been on in the past?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the numbers exactly. I know I've been on some teams where I've had that have had this many, if not more, and been a part of teams that were fortunate to stay pretty healthy.
I think I heard you say last night on the radio that you spent a lot of time this year things to do with the head coach have nothing maybe to do with the X's and O's. The next year you want to be more football oriented. I mean,
yeah, what I said, just coming into a program, and you want to make sure that all the areas that touch football are on point. So I think I spent maybe an inordinate amount of time this year, you know, whether it was equipment, football ops, just all, you know, training room, weight room, all that stuff that has a direct impact, equipment on our guys, making sure those were all set up, headed in the right direction, as opposed to just immersing myself just in, you know, what my comfort zone is, which is defense. So I spent, you know, a little bit more time with Kyle, and then also some of those other areas. I could see next year where if I'm comfortable with how things are up and running, it just always takes so much to kind of get something started, and then once it's up and running, then you can just fine tune as you go. So I could see spending more time next year in football. I'd hope to.
The transition back from principal to teacher. Mike Pettine certainly loves to teach the game. That was his press conference from earlier today. The Browns obviously back at work today. They will take tomorrow off, practice again on Friday in preparation for the season finale against the Baltimore Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. Browns looking to go to 8-8, play spoiler, and dash the Ravens' hopes of making the playoffs. We hope. Christmas Grinch,
steal it away.
Steal it away. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Still to come, top of the hour, the Browns Roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill with Andrew Gribble. Take your calls and tweets, 216-578-0850, 230. Friday forecast presented by Selective Insurance with who? Nakia. That's all coming up on CBD. Merry Christmas Eve.